Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch, buddy, pal.
David,
friend,
buddy, pal.
Good friend, pal.
You,
I like that shirt.
You go fishing solo this weekend?
No, I did not. I was gonna.
You were gonna?
No, I was going to. I thought about it because I literally had packed the boat and I was like, you know what? I'll sleep in. Fight.
Yeah.
So no, I did not go.
So
I almost called Austin.
My youngest has
It was going to be early. It was last minute.
Has taken a liking to fishing. And so,
yes, he has.
Dave got them all set up with some rods and reels and stuff. I'm not the greatest fishing person, fisherman. So Dave gets them all set up, and then he was like wanting to go out on Dave's boat and go fishing.
Well,
he's tired of bank fishing.
I've told him, like, hey, I'll take you fishing.
Yeah.
So he texts me. He's like, hey, you know, you said when it gets colder, like, he's like, this weekend it'd be good. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, let's go. Like, I've got Leah has soccer Friday night. I had shit Saturday. She had soccer Saturday night. I'm like, Sunday morning, let's go before the Chiefs game. We'll go 4 or 5 hours. We'll kill it.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I didn't tell you this before. So I was going to take him to Giacomo.
Yeah.
Because he wants to top water fish, right?
Yeah.
So I got to pull the prop off and everything. So I get the prop all pulled off.
Oh, shit.
I get all the fucking shit loaded into the boat. I'm like, yeah, we go to soccer. He texts me. He's like, hey, I know that it was my idea to go, but I don't want to go. And I told Janine, we were driving home, and she's like, that's Danielle. He don't want to get up early. I was like, yep, yeah, you're probably right, babe.
Yeah. I'm sitting on the couch, and he goes, hey, can you text David and tell him that I can't go? And I'm like, but you can go. And he was like, yeah, I don't want to go anymore, and I don't want to tell him. And I'm like, that's a you problem.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I'm
you
glad
asked
you made
him to go.
Like, own it.
You got to handle. If you don't want to go, you got to suck it up.
Yeah. Like, I didn't care. I just thought it was really funny. I was like, because Janine looks right at me. She goes, that's Danielle. He don't want to get up early in the morning.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's probably right.
He's at that. He's like right on the crest of hitting puberty. It's
yeah.
so funny.
He's awkward or yeah. about to be super awkward.
Yeah. He's already hitting the awkward thing, but it's about ready to get super awkward. Let's see, Tuesday. So today.
I'll say today.
Maybe it was yesterday.
Today's Tuesday.
Yes. It was either yesterday or today.
Do you know what month it is?
Yeah. It was either yesterday or today.
November.
He got to go back and eat lunch at school with general population. He was in isolation for a while on lunch. Because
are we gonna get like some
yeah,
backstory
so
or are
one
we
of
just
his, one of his friends threw a banana peel on the ground and dared Grant to walk on it and slip and fall, and Grant was holding his lunch tray full of food whenever he did this, and he slipped and fell and made this animated gesture with his lunch tray, and somehow ketchup got on the ceiling in the lunchroom, and so he got
somehow
like, he got
ketchup.
Like 5 days of lunch detention. And then then Grant comes home. So we have this rule that we don't punish the kids at home for things they get in trouble for at school.
Probably to a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously if it's
like regular old you're horsing around at school stuff, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And so and the boys know this.
I stole a fire hydrant or fire extinguisher and I smashed a window
that's a little different, right? But and the boys know this. So like last year Mason wore that shirt to school that said fuck your excuses. And it didn't even have a complete cuss word on it. It's F**CK, your excuses.
Yeah, but you still can't wear that
in
school.
And,
you couldn't do that when we were in school.
But what's funny is they let girls wear, like you can wear a sports bra to school.
At school?
Yes. There is no dress code for girls.
First off.
You can see ass cheeks.
First off, how are those? That's why boys' grades are down in high school.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know,
they're heavily distracted.
Literally, all they're trying to do is not let anyone see their erection. That's literally what they're doing all day instead of studying.
Right, which is weird because short inseam shorts are trending now. They're really popular. And it's like, I know what high school is like. I don't know if I would wear shorts that short.
Nope.
When you're going to pop a boner at any point in the day.
Son of a bitch should be hanging out.
And I've joked around with Mason about it. And he's like, oh, all the guys know. If you see a guy walking around with his hand in his pocket, he's covering his boner. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Dude.
The girls, there are girls that will wear dog collars and leashes. And that's okay. There are girls that wear tails and they call themselves furries, and that's okay. But you can't wear a shirt with an almost cuss word on it. And so Mason got called into the principal's office.
What fucking world are we living in?
I know. Mason got called into the principal's office because one of the teachers complained about it. And the principal's like, does your parents know you're wearing that? Mason's like, yeah, my dad dropped me off at school when I was wearing it. And he was like, I don't believe you. And he's like, you want me to call him right now? So Mason calls me from his cell phone and it's in the middle of the day. So I'm like,
that's weird. I better answer this.
I'm like, hey, buddy, what's up? He goes, well, I'm sitting in the principal's office and he wants to talk to you. So Mason puts it on speaker.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, Mr. Schmedley, do you know that your son's wearing a shirt with a cuss word on it? And I'm like, it's not a cuss word. It's F**CK. It's almost a cuss word. It's insinuating a cuss word.
Yeah.
But it's not a cuss word. And he goes, you seem like you're okay with this. I'm like, yeah, I've seen the other kids, what they wear at school and the dress code and what the girls wear. And I think a shirt with an almost cuss word on it's the least of our problems.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I'm really surprised to hear this. And I'm like, well, you're going to be surprised at my next statement. And that is, do whatever you're going to do to punish him at school, because he is absolutely not in trouble at home. And he was like, well, I really know how to take that. And I'm like, take it however you want.
Yeah, but I'm being completely 100% honest and transparent with you.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't call you. Like when Nathan back talks to his mom and I ground him, I don't call school and be like, hey, just to let you know, Mason had a little outburst with his mother today. So if you could carry that on at school, I would appreciate it. Right. And I take this stance with full support of the teachers, right? Like I'm never going to get on a teacher for over punishing my kid. That's them. That's their place.
Yeah.
That's their rules.
You know? I feel like we're getting off topic.
When my youngest got 5 days of lunch detention.
Let's go back to that. What was he thinking?
I don't know. He's a 13-year-old boy going through puberty. Like, I don't think he is thinking.
Do you worry about his decision-making process?
It's just fleeting thoughts when you're that young. You're just stringing together.
It's intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. I know I used to do a lot of dumb things.
Yeah.
But
it's like buying a toilet flange at that age, you know?
I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, I don't either. He sent me a picture of the kid, bro, let his intrusive thoughts
win. Oh, no, that's not a toilet flange. That's a wax ring.
Wax ring, sorry.
Oh, yeah,
the kid was eating a wax ring.
Wax ring. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they just do stupid shit, right? But
I don't remember us ever doing anything like that. Like, it's not that stupid.
We absolutely did.
I'm sure if you looked back,
made weapons out of like paper clips, rubber bands, pencils, pins.
Yeah.
And you wore bicycles. Right.
Spitballs all over school.
You wore bicycles with no shoes on and you tried to stop.
We'd pass notes. I mean, now it's texting, but.
So
my kid comes home from school last week and he was like, oh, by the way, when parent-teacher conferences are next week, the principal's going to talk to you about this thing. And Grant goes, and I need you to act disappointed in me. Because he knows.
He was laying groundwork when he was in the office.
Because he knows that I'm not going to give two shits about what the principal says. And again, I say that within full, I support them fully. But he's under your control when he's there. You set the rules, you do the punishment, you do everything. I'll handle it at home, you do it at school. Like that would be like me calling up the football coach and being like, I think you had my son run too many ladders today for telling the assistant coach to fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to jump on the football coach's, boundaries. I'm not going to jump on the school's boundaries.
That's fucking hilarious.
Football, Mahomes plowing through Mustafa.
Oh my God.
Dude, that was amazing.
Dude. Yeah. Run that motherfucker
while
over.
Yeah.
Aaron Benoit right now is like, man, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
Fuck these guys.
I need
guys.
To see if any of the guys in Tradewinds are Tampa Bay fans. See if one of them want to come into town for the Tampa Bay game. I don't think so.
There's one.
I mean, there might be
there's one.
People that live close, but maybe they're fans.
I know there's one.
We'll check them out.
Aaron Benoit, I think, is the only 49ers fan.
Yeah.
And we've been owning their ass. And I think he doesn't, mad about it. He loves football too.
Mahomes has never lost to him.
And football players that talk super simple. So like the post conferences, he's just like, well, I just had a little more weight on me. So I just ran through him.
That's referencing last year. He got a whole bunch of flack because he's got a dad bod. He's all pudgy.
Oh.
And so that's why he was saying that's the dad bod going to work is all that extra weight. Lets you truck somebody.
Dude, he trucked him hard too. Yeah. Like it looks bad. It looked bad.
Well, and
rewind play.
Let's be fair though. All QBs can do that because everybody is scared to death of tackling the QB. There was another game
when they're runners out of the pocket though. They're not protected like that.
Well,
they're the same as a running back at that
point. They can still slide though. The QB can still slide and save the hit there.
Yeah, but I'm not giving it to him on that.
I know
he got run the fuck over.
But everybody is so trained. There was another game. This weekend, and I cannot remember who it was, but this defender had a clear, wide open shot to the backside of the QB. QB didn't even see him coming. And the defender like was going to tackle
him. He got away and threw the ball. Yeah.
Well, he let up or because ran. He's like, I can't tackle him at this speed.
Yeah,
because
they gotta
I'm
fix
gonna
that
get
shit.
Like he's gonna get hurt. I'm gonna get penalized. And so he like went to let up a little bit and the QB was able to sneak away.
Yeah. Do you ever go back and watch like old school NFL highlights on YouTube?
Dude, Tom Brady probably took one of the hardest hits ever. And I know you don't like talking about Tom Brady.
It's not that I don't like Tom Brady. I'm tired of fucking him being in my life. He's fucking
funny,
everywhere.
What like the highlights of that one, he gets up and he was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't come up like, yeah, I'm tough. You can't do that. Like, no,
like
he
he's
was
looking
like,
around.
Hurt.
Like, there's stars. I see a lot. Those old school games, like in the 70s and 80s, like, I'll go back and just watch on YouTube. Dude, they're awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, guys are getting fucking murdered.
Remember
out there.
Remember Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
So, there's another really
I miss
popular
that football.
Clip. I don't know, bring it back.
I
don't know who the other player is. It's a popular player. I just can't remember who they are. They tried to blindside tackle Ray Lewis.
Why would they?
They tried to blindside block him. Ray Lewis was trying to tackle the offender. He tried to blindside block him, and Ray Lewis saw him coming at the last minute.
Oh shit! He turned flat back
him. And I mean, he was down, rolling on the ground, and everything else. And they had him mic'd up, and he comes off the sidelines, and coach is like, "What the fuck happened?" And he goes, "I tried to block Ray. I shouldn't have done that, coach. I tried to block Ray. I should have made a business decision and not blocked him."
I miss those days.
Yeah.
It's just not, like, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but it's just not the same. Like, it's almost, like, it's still a violent game. Guys are still getting hurt. Like, there's still good hits once in a while. But, man, just not like they're used to
be. Look at the number of amazing injuries. I say amazing, not amazing in a good way, but, like, prolific injuries this year.
Yeah. The only thing they've really stopped are concussions.
Right.
Everything else, guys are still fucked up. Yeah, but it's not as cool to watch a guy get his knee blown out as it is for him to like hit the ground and then he goes full.
I don't think they stopped concussions.
Stop moving.
Oh, I think they just channeled all of them to Tua. Tua gets all of them now. He's throwing up gang signs.
How does that guy not retire?
Hey, he's eligible for practice like tomorrow. I know.
Dude, get out of the league. Dude, if he takes a couple more of those, at 40, he's going to be mentally retarded.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy the Hunger Games movies? Like, just by the way you talk about football, like, man, there needs to be more violence. I'm like, dude, you're the exact person that would be like Hunger Games.
I have seen the Hunger Games series.
None of the sense of liking the movie, but like,
did you see?
It's killing okay. each other.
Did you see Deshaun Watson over the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear what the crowd did afterwards?
They booed.
Oh, my God.
Why? So what?
You don't ever.
I don't care.
They didn't boo. They were chanting, "You deserve it." An entire stadium of people chanting, "You deserve it."
Let's be honest. He is also the one that was basically molesting women, massage masseuses.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a D-bag and then like get hurt, you're going to catch flack. It's not like he's an upstanding individual.
No, he probably does
freaking deserve it.
But to get a whole stadium of people chanting that
together.
Dude,
he had to settle those like with cash because he was going to go to jail.
Yeah.
For molesting women.
Yeah.
He does deserve it.
Well.
I mean, Dude, I'm not a big karma believer, but I mean, hey, you're a D-bag.
I can't, like...
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Like, it's not like he's an upstanding individual and played like crap and then got hurt and then they chanted, "You deserve it."
Well, I think
he was a horrible person and then got hurt.
I think what you're talking about is like there's a fear of at some point you start to become a villain when you get so like, oh, he deserves it. Okay, like what's the next step?
Well, that's just the cycle of life. When you're actively so much against something that you become what you're against.
Yeah.
Like, you were so mean to those women, you treated them poorly, and then they treat him poorly. Like, you know, the...
I don't believe in karma, but I do believe in what goes around comes around. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that karma?
It's basically the same thing.
Well, there's like a healthy karma.
That's
but then
the religious way to say it's I believe in karma.
That's right. It's a purple plum versus a white plum. Yeah. It's the same shit, but it's a little different.
But yeah, like I've never been to another football stadium other than Arrowhead. And I cannot imagine the culture of Arrowhead.
You didn't go to a Rams game once?
I cannot imagine the culture of Arrowhead, whether it's our play, like you take Joe Burrow and you injure him in Arrowhead. Arrowhead's not chanting.
Well, Joe Burrow also was not molesting women.
I know.
So if he had, he probably would have heard some of that.
Yeah.
Like you say that though, like people in Philadelphia threw batteries at Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, Philly fans are rough.
Dude, they are rough.
That's a tough crowd.
I would never go to a game in Philly.
Yeah.
I'd be scared to death. I'd get fucking gang raped out in the parking lot.
To be in an organization, a football organization, not just the player, but the organ, like to be part of the 53-man roster on the sidelines, the coaching staff, the upper office, all hearing your whole stadium chanting, you deserve it to your quarterback. Like,
I feel no pity for these guys making millions of dollars and have to put up with a little flack.
Yeah.
I feel no pain for them.
I don't feel bad for Deshaun. let me just say that.
Who do you feel bad for?
Who wants to go be at a game where all the fans are like that? And maybe they were only like that because of Deshaun. Maybe they were only like that because he's just a horrible person.
I think that's probably it.
Is it Orlando Brown? The guy that like went crazy and took his jersey off and said peace out?
I don't remember.
In the end zone?
I don't remember.
He was like warming up. And
Orlando Brown, isn't he Baltimore Ravens tackle? See, you're getting out of my... I'm not sure here.
Like, say if Dave like did something to like tick me off and I was really mad at him, and then somehow he gets ran over, hit by a car. I would never in a million years be like, oh, you deserve it. Like, I would be like, dude, like, I know like I'm mad at you, but like that still sucks. I'm still going to like try to take care of you.
I can separate those. Right?
Yeah.
I can't.
But yeah.
I'm getting worse too.
Yeah, you are.
I know.
Yeah. We already found the movie about you. Was it Bad Dads?
Old Dads.
Old Dads?
Yeah. Old Dads.
I don't know.
First off, if you guys have never seen Old Dads and you're listening to this, pause this, watch Old Dads, and then come back.
And then Bill Burr is
David I love Hill. Bill Burr. Dude, his comedy's hilarious.
He's funny.
He's freaking hilarious.
He's real funny.
He gives no shits.
He says what everyone's thinking.
Yeah.
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 So.
He's hilarious.
One more thing real quick before we get onto what we're talking about. I saw something the other day that made me think of you.
I've been living rent-free in Mitch's head for the last few days. I'm not sure what's going on. Yeah.
This cop pulls this guy over.
Uh-oh.
And the guy doesn't have a license. And so the cop is like, I need a driver's license. And the guy says, I don't have one and I don't need one. And the cop's like, why wouldn't you need one? And he goes, well, I identify as a cat.
Oh,
and
shit.
Cats don't need licenses.
Why the fuck does that make you think of me?
The cop's reaction.
Oh.
He just, I mean.
Does he lose it?
No, he was super fast. And he was like, I don't care what the fuck you identify as. Like, anything driving in this state has to have a license.
Cat
if you're a
or
dog,
not.
You have to be licensed. If you're a lizard, you got to be licensed. And
that is gold.
And so then he goes on like all these other tangents about,
Does he? So he's just like been storing it inside for a while. He just lets it out.
He was like, "You're not wearing a collar. You're not legal to be a cat in this state. Where's your proof of rabies vaccination?" Like, he just starts going off on this guy. You never really hear how it ends.
Oh.
But instead of the cop like being caught off guard by somebody trying,
he was quick. He's just like,
I mean,
boom,
he just turned it right back around on him and been like, "All right, if you want to be a cat, be a fucking cat. You still need a license. Now I need a rabies vaccination. Now I need your collar. Like,
who's your owners?
Yeah, who's your owners? Where do you reside?" You
know? My God, dude. That so is funny. Fucking hilarious.
I did see one where it's like a cop pulled over this younger girl, and the girl was trying to get out of it. She's like, "Do you know who my parents are?" And the cop's like, "Oh, your mom not tell you?"
There's another one where the girl's
"Why, did
like,
your mom not tell you?" Oh, that's brutal.
The cop walks back up to the car and hands this girl a ticket. And the girl says, I thought you didn't give pretty girls tickets. And he goes, "What was that?" And she goes, "I thought you didn't give pretty girls tickets." And he goes, "Yeah, we don't. Your court date's on December 13th. Get told ugly and you get a ticket.
Here's your ticket, bitch.
There's a guy in my church. He used to be a state trooper.
Oh, my God.
People would accuse him of like, "Oh, you're trying to make quota." And he's like, "You're right. Here's your ticket."
Yeah. Here's your ticket.
Yeah. They do have a quota.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Ugh.
What
do you want to talk about,
topic
dude?
Topic today.
Now got me all confused.
20 minutes into the show,
so
we're finally
confused.
Getting started.
I'm so confused.
Yeah,
right
we've
now.
Effectively put a bag over your head and spun you around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your podcast terms.
Topic today is hustle culture and how it's not everything that you've perceived it to be. And really, everyone likes to glamorize the thought of work. But nobody wants to do the work, right? And so what
like,
I'm getting
what
at.
Do you, well, like, yeah, well, what do you mean?
Your social media feeds are filled with people doing the work, but your social media feeds are not filled with people achieving the results. Now, obviously, you can tailor your feed, right?
Yeah.
If you have a whole bunch of uber successful people on your social media feed, then maybe. If you have a bunch of Hollywood stars, whether we agree or disagree with how they got successful, they are successful to some degree. You know, yeah, you could have those guys in your feed. But a lot of social media feeds are filled with people that are similar to your level and people that are similar to your lifestyle and everything else. And those types of people love to post.
Yeah, it's the one-up culture.
Yeah, burning the midnight oil.
Yeah, it's the post of the clock and it's 4:30 and they're at the office in front of their desk. Meanwhile, they've taken that photo, set the phone down and they're taking a nap.
They just finished working out. So that's like when their muscles are the biggest, like right after they work out.
Well, that's different. Like,
ooh, struck a chord.
No,
Mitch.
That's not anybody. I'm just saying like, that's the time. Of course. I mean, it makes sense because they're in the gym.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The lighting's different. Everything's different in the gym. That's where you're going to take your photos. But like, the guy that chronically, like I've got a guy in my feed, he chronically every day is posting pictures of him in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is a fat fuck and he has been for 4 or 5 years. He hasn't lost any weight whatsoever.
But every day he's at the gym.
He's trying to glamorize, like, got to get my gym routine in, got to get it. And like, I applaud you for like doing the healthy thing, but you're only doing like, fitness is more about going to the gym.
Do you think he's going to the gym, taking the photo and leaving?
Well, it's
obvious he's not doing enough because he still weighs like, I'm not kidding you. The guy is, he's probably like mid 5 feet tall, like 5'5" maybe. And he weighs like almost 300 pounds.
Ooh.
It's that post I sent you where it's like, the goal is to win, not look like you're winning. And he's like trying to look like he's winning.
Right.
But it's like 5 years gone. It's like,
right.
You know.
And again,
sorry to cut you off.
If you're starting a fitness thing and you're doing all the things, I'm not shaming people for posting pictures of themselves at the gym. Don't try to portray success that you're not working towards. Right. So like Jocko Willink, you know who he is?
No.
Okay.
I don't follow any of these D-bags.
I know. But
I got shit to do, man.
Jocko's got some really cool shit. He's very humble. He's an amazing leader. I don't think he was with SEAL Team 6, but he was one of the SEAL Team leaders.
Oh, so he's a badass.
He's a badass.
Gotcha.
And now he's exited out of the military. He was a contractor for a little while. He's exited out. Now he has like a leadership course for basically teaching you how to lead and delegate similar to the military does.
and how to hold people accountable and all this stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he's big on BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and working out and everything else. Well, he does this thing. He takes a black and white photo of his watch. He's got like a military style watch, like,
yeah,
you know, stopwatches and clocks and different time zones and all kinds of shit on there. He takes a black and white photo of his watch on his wrist every day when he wakes up. It's the first thing he does when he wakes up. And a lot of times his watch will say like 3:58 or 4:02 a.m. And so, okay, it works for Jocko. Like, that's him. He's literally built his entire lifestyle around it. And then you get the guy who's like, gets up at 4:02 once.
Yeah.
Takes the photo, and they're like, if you want to be successful, you got to get up at 4.
Yeah. And then, like, you don't see anything else.
Yeah. It's like, hold on. Like, get successful and then show why. And it goes along with the whole thing of, like, when people say nobody believes in me, it's because you haven't done anything for them to believe in you for, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you had no clue who Nick Saban was, would you trust the guy right out of the gate?
No, he looks like a pedophile.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Right? Or he looks like a high school math teacher.
Yeah.
Right?
He's weird.
Right. But Nick Saban lets his results speak for themselves. And then once you see the results, now you're more clued into, maybe I should listen to this guy. And now his words have a whole different level of meaning, because you know that those words helped inspire other results, right? Let me see if I can find it. Austin, look it up, because it'll take me a minute to find it. Nick Saban, Sunday NFL discipline speech.
Was this like 2 days ago?
See if you can find it in words. There's an audio clip. I know this. Yeah, this was 2 Sundays ago. He was on, you know, he's an announcer now for football.
He is?
He's maybe it's college football. Maybe it's Saturday. Maybe it was Saturday football.
I don't think he does.
It was college football. It was on Saturday.
Was it in January?
No. It was just this Saturday.
Show's off the rails.
but basically, there's a lot of teams in college doing really well right now.
Yeah.
And it's his nothing hype speech. Is that sound familiar?
Yes. Yes. His nothing. Can you find it in print?
Yeah. Well, it's just, I'm on an article right now, like Yahoo Sports.
See if you can find it in print and I'll read it. Or you'll read it. It is awesome. But if you didn't know all of his accomplishments, that speech means jack shit. In other words, if I'm meeting a stranger and they had no clue who I am or what I do, and I'm not even going to try to say I'm successful, they wouldn't. If I said that speech, it wouldn't mean shit. But Nick Saban says it.
Yeah.
With his.
Well, Kerry, he's got clout.
Right. And you're like, wow, that's fucking awesome. You find it yet?
Mm-mm. He's still working on
it. It might actually be kind of hard to find it in words.
Yeah.
Transcribed. Yeah. But basically, he was like, the gist of it is, they were asking him, like, okay, you've been a coach of some 5-0 teams and some 6-0 teams. We have a lot of those going on in college right now. What are you doing to keep the guys motivated? Because this is when you drop that dumb game to the team you should blow out.
Yeah.
And it's basically him saying, what you did yesterday means nothing today. And you know, what does yesterday's results have to do for today? Nothing. If you woke up today and needed to win today, and you didn't have discipline and you didn't have desire, what would you have? Nothing. And he basically asks all of these questions where it forces the group that he's talking to reply with the word nothing. And he summarizes it up by saying, exactly, all those past results, everything you've done so far means nothing if you don't put in the work to win today.
Yeah.
And that's when those teams drop the ball. And so you'll hear speeches like that and you're like, oh man, that's awesome. I got to start being that way.
Yeah.
Well, you got to start, right? We all post our fair share of like motivational shit.
Yeah.
But you gotta walk the walk.
Yeah.
Too. Right.
There's just so many people. This is my problem with Facebook, and I know I've said this 100 times, and social media in general. It's just full of so many fake people that are just trying to be what they consider successful or glamorous or whatever. And it's like I can see through their bullshit so much that it makes me not want to be on there. Right. Like, it's a struggle for me to be on there. Like, the HVAC groups and the plumbing groups, it's like, it's the same thing. You got to filter through 90% of it is bullshit to get to 10% that's actually worth reading, worth being a part of, worth giving someone in that group some actual value and information that you can share with them, because there's just so much bullshit.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yep.
But what we're talking about here is the same thing. It's literally what you were saying about like motivational quotes. Like in the morning when I get on there, there's literally there's 50.
Yeah.
Like in a row. And I'm going through and I'm looking. And I'm like, oh, George Diaz, awesome. Mitch, great. Ray's got one. You know, people I know that are walking the walk and working hard. But then more than 75% of them are people that I know that I wouldn't give a fucking pot to piss in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust with a dime.
Yeah.
And they're, oh, gotta get up and hustle and grind today. You know, going to the gym or whatever the bullshit they're putting on there. And I'm like, no.
Right.
Stop. You've like what you're saying, you've literally accomplished nothing. Why are you, I guess my question is, why do people puff their chest out like that? Is it just because they are wannabes? Is it just because?
No, I think it's everyone's desire to feel
important,
to feel like they're on top,
to feel like other people are proud of them, right? And it's like,
so this gets back to what we talk about all the time. Don't give a shit what anyone else thinks.
Well, kinda, but yeah, like,
but they want to. They're like, no, you have to love me.
Well, and that's the hard thing with advice on the internet, which is where most of your advice comes from now, is. Like, it's all true. There's no bad advice out there, but there's context around each of those pieces that changes things, right?
Yeah.
So, like, before we started the show, Austin was talking about, you know, the guy that's eating fruit. He makes a healthier choice and eats fruit, and then he gets chastised because of all the sugar and fruit.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, he could have put down a bag of candy bars and picked up a thing of watermelon, and
yeah,
and now we're chastising him for eating fruit. Like,
yeah.
Like, there is... It's no different than all these, you know, health gurus and everything else. Like, there's a whole lot of different ways to achieve success, but just have the results first before you do it. And you see this all the time with gurus that like when ChatGPT came out, literally ChatGPT is out for 48 hours.
I know it all, man.
And then it's like, sign up for my course to learn everything you need to know about ChatGPT. And it's
I know Google inside and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Google ones are even worse, right?
No one understands Google anymore.
I'll tell you this.
It fucking is a lost art at this point.
I had a conversation this week with a couple of people. Google is about ready to fuck digital marketers right off the face of this earth.
We talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
It was in one of our one-on-one calls.
They're getting real close to bypassing digital marketers, and you just work directly with Google.
Well, first off, I hate it and love it all at the same time.
Right.
Like, because I hate Google. I hate how much power they have and how much control they have, but I hate the fact that 90% of the digital marketers out there are just ripping guys off right and left.
Right.
Guys, gals, whoever.
Right.
Just screwing their eyeballs out. And giving them no results.
No results.
Literally no results. I think promising the moon and giving them nothing.
Red flag I see in the video content creator community is like when people, they'll put out like, there's my mic, that's a better position. Their behind the scenes looks more elaborate and polished than like what they're actually doing. And it's like, at a certain point, if you're behind the scenes of like, look where I am, I'm doing this stuff, it gets to be a little so elaborate where like, the people who are actually doing the work, the cinematographers, the grips, directors, they're usually so busy if they're actually legit that they're not posting and they're not like creating these elaborate behind the scenes videos.
Yeah, they don't care.
Because they're like the true professionals struggle to find time in that industry just because of what it is.
Right.
And there's also things too, like there's non-disclosure agreements, like people who are actually filming stuff for like Nike and Apple, they can't go on YouTube and share everything is because
you can't do behind the scenes stuff because they signed an NDA saying you're not going to expose any of this info.
Yeah.
So I was watching a YouTube video of an actual cinematographer who works on commercials. He calls out other people because it's like his stuff is more like grooving after the fact. He's like, if you pull out some sort of behind the scenes camera, people are going to look at you and be like, I'm paying you thousands of dollars to do this, not this whole like YouTube thing.
Well, and we're like, it's kind of like the photo that Austin shared with David and I a couple of days ago. The goal is to be successful, not look successful. Right. Yeah. And so what happens is you get all these guys that, oh, I started my business. Or they go work out once and then they're posting like, fitness is my passion.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No.
No. stay with it for a year and a half. And then I'll start to actually believe what you're like literally probably 98% of people's problem with fitness is the discipline to stick with it. Right. And so you get somebody who's stuck with some level of fitness for a year and a half. They're already a leg up on everybody else.
Some level of success in anything that doesn't give you a paycheck is a pretty high level of discipline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether it be fitness, whether it be working on old cars, whether it be your yard looking immaculate, like compared to everyone, like no matter what, that area takes a desired level of discipline.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Well, like you can't just, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work my old car today. You can't do it for a week. It takes a long time.
Right.
You've got to like set yourself up. Okay, I'm going to be doing this. I'm committed to this to make this happen.
Right. Right.
That's where discipline comes in.
Right.
Regardless of what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you hit on a good point there. Your level of discipline outside of what's giving you a paycheck is going to determine a lot of success from within of what gives you your paycheck. And so in other words, don't let your job be the hardest thing you do every day. Don't let your job be the only challenge you face every day.
Yeah.
Do other things to get your mind off your job, but also to present challenges to you that you don't face day in and day out at your job. Because challenges that you face day in and day out, 24/7, 365 that never end, will burn you out.
Yeah.
And so that's why you need a change of pace and a change of variety. And so when people talk hobbies, they're not talking hobbies for fun only.
No, right? It's the challenge.
It's the challenge of the hobby. I mean, it could be a fucking bowling league.
Yeah.
There's a challenge there. There's scoring, there's rules, there's everything else, right? If you ride
there's a level of competition that you want to be at requires discipline to get there.
Yeah.
It's weird we bring that. Like, this is one of my problems that I've been dealing with since last February. Since I quit working full time and only doing trade wins with you, it's like I've had to have projects to do, right? Whether they be work, whether they be at home, whether they whatever. Well, now it's like all of a sudden half of my projects are gone.
Right.
And it's like literally my mind is like, oh, what are we going to do now?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like you just feel like you're lost.
Right.
Like there is a, how do I say this? There is a real need for people in general to have, how do I say this, Mitch? Goals and something that they can commit their spare time to so that they feel like they have a competitive edge regardless of what it is.
Keywords, spare time.
Yeah.
Not your main job.
You've got to have it. If you don't have it, you're just spinning your wheels. You're sitting around watching Netflix and smoking dope all day.
Right.
Like that doesn't work.
Like, I don't even care if it's barbecue competitions. You're still analyzing it. You're still trying to come up with a better recipe. You're changing the temperature. You're changing the time. You're changing the rub. All of those things, right?
It's requiring mental focus.
I got a buddy of mine up the street that races SCCA cars.
He's not the guy with the Harris Waltz sign on the corner, is he?
No.
Okay.
I knew you would see that. Yeah.
That went up this morning.
It's kind of funny how they put it up like super close to the election. Like they're like, I don't want her.
Yeah. I don't want my house to be burned the fuck down.
Well, you notice it's a little crooked.
Grant?
No.
No.
No. I'm just saying it's fitting. It's fitting for their campaign. It's crooked.
It's fitting.
It's crooked as fuck.
Yeah. I'm going to start paying your kids to go around and pick up all those signs. I'll pay them $5 for everyone they steal.
No. So I got this buddy of mine up the street that races SCCA cars, and he also does adult intramural volleyball.
I thought you were going somewhere totally different with that when you said adult softball.
But he posts, so his job, he has a small business where he measure, like, it's kind of confusing. he drives all over the city. There's these devices that are measuring things in assembly plants. And his job is to drive around to all these devices and update them and take the readings of
like
what
a digital
measuring.
Water meter guy. Same concept.
Same
just
concept,
for something
but
different.
It's not, it's like ultra specific.
Gotcha.
Like plating companies where they're needing to measure exact spray amounts on certain applications and all this stuff. So his job is not very like,
it's boring.
It pays well.
Sounds boring.
It's boring,
as
fun. Right? He spends most of his time posting on social media, his hobbies. And so like his team, it seems like his team always wins the championship on the intramural softball. And he's all the time winning these SCCA races. So in other words, he's challenging himself and proving that he can overcome adversity in many areas other than just his job.
Yeah.
And you have to do that because if the only adversity you face throughout the day is your job and then your spouse, you're fucked.
It's funny that you brought up spouse and adversity at the same time.
Just because I know that people are going to be like, oh, I face adversity at my job and then I come home and I got to deal with the wife, you know? And so
no comment,
like your spouse is not a hobby, right?
Yeah. I said no comment. You kept going.
I just realized what that. Not it. Right.
Okay. Whatever.
So that's
just gloss over all that.
Like you should be challenging yourselves in other areas.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not until you've proven that you can overcome challenges in other areas continuously that people will even have any kind of faith in you. Right. You see this all the time. Guys post, hey, I'm starting my own business, and they expect accolades.
Yeah.
They expect, you know, you get a lot of people that are like, oh, you're going to do so well. I can't wait to see it and blah, blah, blah. And those people, they're probably just blowing smoke up your ass. Right. And
yeah, they literally are like, this motherfucker is going to crash and burn so fast.
Right. And so like, and I could maybe even be confused of this a little bit I start posting a little bit about like the shitty customers that we encounter.
Yeah.
Not the good customers. Right. And I never make fun of our good customers, but if you're an asshole person, I don't care if you're a customer or not, I'm going to probably call you out.
Yeah.
And so,
yes.
Yeah. So, you know, but I've proven myself through Google reviews and our company's customer service track record that I know a thing or two about delivering good customer service. Right.
Yeah.
And so when I post about a shitty customer, I've got the clout, I've got the background to show that I know a thing or two about delivering amazing customer service. And if this person fell through that process and came out pissed off,
yeah,
there's nothing more we could have done to change
that.
Yeah,
right? To satisfy.
I mean, if the shoe fits, if you post about something and someone's like, oh, that's negative, I'm like, well, if the shoe fits.
Yeah.
And so, but what'll happen is you get other guys that are maybe new into business. They've got like 14 Google reviews. They don't even have a 5.0 rating and they're bitching about customers.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you're not going to get pity from anybody because you don't have the track record that looks like you even know how to take care of customers. Right. Or you get the guy who's never managed to keep a team member longer than a couple of weeks or a couple of months.
Problem might be you, bud.
And then he says, you can't find good help these days. I'm pretty sure you
couldn't find,
manage good help.
I mean, like as someone from my perspective, I think the biggest turn away for when you follow people who are business owners on Facebook, the biggest turnoff you could do is complain about like
Mitch's turn today.
Business owners will try to like be relatable, but really they're just complaining about something and just like that's just not a good look for your business. Like I saw one where it's just like people don't know the struggle. Like that's just like a turnoff for any business owner that when they post like that.
Well, and it's one thing to find ways to communicate the struggles of business because there is no shortage of them, mm-hmm. right? But you don't want to be the guy that's being all ambiguous.
Like pity me or
ambiguous. And, nice.
Well, what I mean is like they're sharing the same fucking post over and over.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, cool. I got it. But like if you're not sharing a good balance of things, you're not going to get the sympathy or the pity that you're looking for. Yeah. Right. So in other words, if I post about an upset customer, I'll actually get a lot of engagement and a lot of support on that because everybody knows that we do amazing jobs with customers, right? But I wouldn't, I'm trying to think of something else. I can't even think of it because it's just not on my mind. I wouldn't post about a struggle I'm having somewhere else because I haven't proven myself as being competent in that area. Right. So like, let's just say,
if you decided you were going to start racing again.
All right. So you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
No. Let's say we get into something completely different, like a whole different service line. Let's say I start a trucking company or something. Oh, geez. And then I start complaining about the difficulties of a trucking company. Yeah. Nobody's going to give two shits about that.
No.
Because I have no background in trucking. So yeah, it's going to be difficult.
They're just the, what they call the military, yeah. The FNG, the FN
yeah.
new
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, the fucking new guy.
Yeah. So, but I guess what I'm saying is it's easy to get wrapped up in this hustle culture where you think everyone else is out there working 24/7, 365, not seeing their kids' events, you know, getting up at 4, going to bed at midnight, getting up at 4, going to bed at midnight, burning the midnight oil, burning the candle at both ends and all this stuff. And it's just not real.
Well, and what it does too, is I think it dampens a lot of people's spirits. Like say someone wants to open up their own business and that's all they see is this person's missing this and they're doing this and they're on there all the time. And it puts out this false vision of what being a business owner is or being a successful person
right.
is. And then they don't even try because they've been beat down
yeah.
without even knowing it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? That's it. And that's the stuff that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like literally all you're doing is putting out this, you know, we've talked about it before in social media. All you're doing is putting out you're either putting out only the positive and not showing how much hard work it took to get there.
Right.
Or you're only showing the negative. Even though there are a lot of great things that are happening, and then you're creating this false sense of identity
right.
that people view as success or hard work or whatever, and it's just not true.
Right.
That's the problem I have with social media. Hustle culture, social media, whatever. It's just this facade that it can create, and just like it makes people disillusioned with what reality is.
Yeah.
If all
yeah.
you post is like vacation photos, it makes you look like you're always on vacation. This similar thing.
Well, so I get a little bit of this because I post a lot about us being on the boat, mm-hmm. right? And so people think
you're always 24/7.
I'm always on the boat.
Yeah.
And it's like, no,
you're on it a lot.
I mean, I'm on it a lot. Yeah, like I yeah. enjoy it, but like,
but it's after work.
Yeah. It's you on know? Nights and weekends. Right. And it's not like I'm kicking off. And although I might go out on Thursday. Because the boys are out of school, and it's 86 degrees in October.
We have 4 and 5 o'clock call on Thursday. Oh, out of school yeah. during
there
the day.
There is a part of that, too, of like, if you post that, then it's not really like your fault if people want to be like, oh, well, you're this way. It's just like, you know, I can't control like.
No. And I'm not saying to worry about what other people think about your posts. What I'm saying is how to perceive what you're seeing come across your feed.
Right.
So it's kind of like,
and what to, and how to take those things
like
that you see.
Yeah.
Like take media.
He's saying, you know, actually look at what they've done and accomplished before you take what they say at face value.
Yeah. Well, like,
you know what I mean? If a guy's a loser, you know, he's a loser, but then he's posts like three things that say, oh, this is great. You should do this, do this, do this. And then well, like, why would you do those things if that guy's a fucking loser?
Right.
You know
right. Don't
I mean?
Take advice from anybody who hasn't been where you want to go. Right.
Yeah.
Well, like I used to use this analogy a lot. Like how often would you say the average length of time people own a car? 5 years?
I have no idea.
I'm way about my car. I've owned it for 10 years.
Janine and I keep our stuff a long time.
Yeah, you keep
different.
I mean, most people,
I'd say it's 5 to 7.
Five,
yeah,
right?
5 to 7 yeah, be my guess.
I mean, I have a Honda Civic. That thing will go into like 300,000 miles.
Yeah, it's like it's the house thing too. Yeah. These people, like they say the average person lives in their house for 7 years or something crazy. Right. And you're like, what?
Right. So if you have like 30 friends that you follow on social media, like,
oh, I see.
They're all the time getting new cars.
Yeah.
They're all the time buying a new house.
Everyone's getting a new car but me.
Right. Like, and no, so it makes you feel like everyone is doing this all the time and you're being left out. But it's not. It's these little glimpses of a thumb flick of a piece of information with no context, no nothing.
Yeah. And I will say, I don't want to get onto another topic, but like that is what has kind of, I think, fueled the anxiety and stress level rising in this country, is because everyone thinks that everyone is doing so great. And it's just not true. I know I basically just said this 5 minutes ago, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just people put too much pressure on themselves to be like what they think people are like, but those people aren't really like that. They don't really have, I love the, you know, this is a great one. I saw this the other day, man. I bet your driveway is not as cool as mine. And it's like, it's a guy's driveway and he's got a, like a raised 85 truck, square body.
Yep.
He's got a motorcycle, a four wheeler, and then like a old classic car. And I know the guy, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a picture of his house. But it's one of those old three-bedroom raised ranches built in 1978 that when I was 22, you could get for $100,000.
Right.
And I'm like, I take a picture of my driveway. There's nothing in it.
But my house is there.
And I DM'd him and I sent it to him. I said, no, I don't think so. And he's like, there's nothing in the driveway. I was like, no, it's connected to my $1 million house.
Yeah.
I was like, no, my driveway is fucking cooler than yours. I was like, dude, don't post stuff. I literally told him, I was like, don't post stuff like this. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because it just, I mean, even I wouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't pack all my stuff out there just to be like, oh,
it's a flex.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Oh, look at how bad at. No.
Right.
Stop.
I did some math on that. So basically, if you have 3,000 Facebook friends and say they're all like above age where they can buy cars, and basically, if each one of them bought a car every 5 years, it's showing that like basically every other day you would be seeing a new car post if all your 3,000 friends posted about their new car.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like basically 0.6 of a day.
Yeah. So and if you drive a piece of shit, you automatically feel like crap.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Man, I got this car. Even though you're probably doing the smart thing and hanging on to a reliable vehicle while you stock money away.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want to get into a whole thing, but that's why I hate fucking social media.
Well,
that's one of the reasons I hate it.
Well, yeah, but
it makes people, it literally makes people feel like shit.
It can, if you don't have the right mentality around it.
And most of the people don't.
And that's what this show is about, is to don't get confused or deceived by hustle culture. Right. So how do you combat that? How do you overcome all that? It's easy. Stop multitasking. Stop trying to do everything all at the same time. You're not going to buy the house, buy the car, buy the boat, buy the jet ski, buy the dirt bike, get the engagement ring, have the dream wedding, have the amazing honeymoon.
I mean, you can.
Have the kids, start the business.
You're going to be dead up to your fucking ass, bro.
You're not doing all of that at once, right? You get the girl. You get a really good, healthy relationship with the girl. You get married to the girl. You make a choice to have children. Like, there's a process to that, right?
Yeah.
I always joke around and tell everybody that Danielle and I were kind of backwards from society. Like, we got married, like we met, we fell in love, we got married, we enjoyed just two of us for a while, and then we made a decision to have kids.
Yeah.
And
Janine and I did the same thing, dude.
That's what the path we're
on. We were married.
Here, right.
We were married 10 years.
No, we don't have kids yet, but I mean, that's just the path.
Right.
But 10 but years nowadays, before, she looked at me and was like, I got to have someone else to look at.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Nowadays, it's like,
okay,
swipe
gotcha.
On Tinder, like sleep around for 20 Man. Partners
well,
and then figure
that'd be amazing.
Get a couple of baby daddies.
Yeah.
Right.
Tyreek
and then,
Hill.
And then post on your Facebook about how deadbeat they are and everything else and completely forget the fact that you can't close your fucking legs.
And wonder why no one wants to babysit your kids.
I can feel the emails coming.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
damn it, Mitch.
Like, what's funny, like, take that for example. There's people posting relationship motivational quotes that are divorced 3 times.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and then they're wondering, like, why don't people take me up on that advice? Because they know you. They know that you don't know anything about relationships.
Yeah, they know that you literally have had three different wives in... That'd be like taking a relationship advice from my dad. Like, no one would ever do that. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. Right. I love you. But it's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, that would not be an area where I would take advice.
Right, right.
Although I say that, you know, sometimes failures...
Well, you can learn from failure, right? But like, I guess what I'm saying, like, when I say stop multitasking is...
Yeah, sorry, get it back on track.
You can't do amazing at everything at once. You have to do one thing. You have to master one thing. You have to, and master it meaning, like, you have to know how to do it to perfection yourself. And then you have to know what perfect looks like. And then you have to take it to a next level and delegate it. And then follow it through to make sure that they are also doing it to a high level as well.
Yeah.
And only at that point can you start to back away from that and dive into something else.
Yeah.
Right.
And there are certain people that can multitask and learn three or four. We're talking average people like us, like me and you.
Keep in mind, though, they aren't multitasking. They're compartmentalizing. Right.
Like, well,
if you take like my kid's school
schedule, green apples to red apples.
Well, you take your kid's school schedule. It's compartmentalized, right? They're going to seven different classes a day or whatever. They don't have seven teachers talking to them at the same time.
No.
They're not in class for 3.4 seconds and then thumb flicking to the next class.
That's a good way to say it.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, like, our attention spans are getting so short that there still is no such thing as multitasking. It is you dive into one. You make progress, you unplug from that, you dive into another, you make progress, you unplug from it, right?
Well, and my point kind of was, like, you can only do so many of those things even.
Right.
I guess that was really my point. Like, you can't divide your time up into and focus on 16 different things, even if you're compartmentalizing them. You know what I mean? You got, okay, four or five.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna like let's say a trades business, right? Obviously, you have to know the trade. If you don't know the trade and you're trying to start a trades business, you need to stop. Right.
Yeah. Work for someone for a while and suck up information.
Right. And then so once you've mastered the trade, now you can start branching into management and ownership and all of these things, right?
Yeah.
Don't have the entrepreneurial seizure where you tell your boss to fuck off one day. Now you don't have a job and you're not all that employable. And so now you don't have a choice but to start your business. I mean, if that's how you started it, then great. But you'll probably be the first one to recognize this was not the smartest way to do it.
You're doing business on hard mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so hard mode. Like, you know, compartmentalize the learning, learn the craft, learn management, learn leadership, learn business. If you don't know business, that's where Tradewinds comes in. But like we think we can just do everything at once. Right. There's a reason that doctors go to school for so many years before they even touch like a body.
Yeah.
Right. There's a reason that doctors even come out of school and they're still not doctors.
No, they're residents.
They're residents for a long time.
Yeah. There's a doctor overseeing them because they know they're going to fuck somebody up.
Right. And so like you just can't hit the ground at full speed. You've got to realize that shit takes time. And the popular trendy way to say this is there's levels to this shit. Right. Mm-hmm. Level one is learn the trade. Level two is learn leadership, which you can learn leadership while learning the trade.
Yeah.
Right. Level three is learn management. Management is different than leadership.
Yep.
Leadership is inspiring people to do more than they think they can do. Management is having conversations and setting up systems and processes so that things run smoothly.
Yeah.
They're two totally different things.
Management, I would say, is the numbers side of it. How do I delegate time, task, material, things like that? But then getting that stuff implemented is the leadership part.
Yeah. Management is the analytical. Leadership is the emotional.
To get guys to perform or gals to perform better than they should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at their max, I guess I should say.
Right.
You'll see it on YouTube too. People, like in the video space, people will learn a technique and then they'll make a video on it and like acting like they're just the end all be all, even though they just learned. The same thing with like... when the new phones come out, a new camera comes out, like you said, like with the AI, it's out for 48 hours and people are like self-proclaimed like gods with AI.
Yeah.
Right, right.
$99. I will show you everything you need to know.
Yeah, just download my course. Yeah.
The course is just him sitting at a desk like this.
The other challenge that you have with all of this stuff is the information bias that comes from social media. And so, in other words, social media knows like more about you than you know about yourself. Social media knows if you're upset. Social media knows if you're happy.
How do they know I'm upset?
They can. So it's not about what you're posting.
No, I know.
They can tell by how long you're spending. They know the general context of each post or each video. And they can tell by what videos you're centering in on right now and what videos you're quickly passing. They can tell if you're upset. They can tell if you're horny. They can tell if you're ecstatic and happy.
That's not true. Because how do they know that fishing videos don't make me horny?
Well, they might, believe it or not. They totally might. They get a nice set of booby bouncing lures on there. And
I'm not. The reason I bring that up is because I'm not. I like fishing, and I'll like stop on fishing videos and stuff. And all of a sudden, lately, it's girls in bikinis holding big bass.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait, why? Why do they? What is this? I'm so, like, why have I seen these?
So last night,
you stop on one fucking weird image, and they own your ass.
Yep. Well, and it's not even that. They're gonna throw shit in to tempt you all the time, right? In other words, we know he likes fishing videos, but he is a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
So let's see if he likes fishing videos with bikinis.
Yeah.
Let's see if he likes, like, they even know that's a blonde or a brunette or a redhead.
I like them all.
And so they're gonna, you know,
that's not true. Feed that like in there. Redheads.
Crazy. But, ironically, last night I was showing Danielle a funny video, and the next, like, to get the video to restart, like you flick up to the next video and then pull it back down. So the next one I flipped up to was like a chick in a bikini fishing. And Danielle's like, what the fuck are you watching? And I'm like, it knows I'm 40.
Yeah, like, it just knows. Just, yeah, it knows. it knows I've had enough of you.
Yeah, that's why every fourth ad is a For Hims commercial or a Blue Chew commercial.
Dude, that's the other thing too. They've got to slow that shit down. It's like, it gets to the point where I can't even see stuff I want to see.
Yeah.
Because I can't even stop on my friend's posts because there aren't any.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you've got to do the 4-day slow process of go through as fast as you can until you find your friend. Stop.
Yep.
As fast as you can. Up, real post. Stop. To try to get that shit to go away. It's fucking insane, man.
Another way to do that is click onto your friend's page and actually scroll around in your friend's page for a minute. And it gives the algorithm an indicator that you want to see more of their stuff.
Well, so. I don't care about an individual person. I care about my friend group in general. I want to see real life stuff,
right?
Not fucking ads and bikini pictures. Stop.
Like Danielle, she stops on all the ads and watches all the ad videos and everything.
So that's all she gets?
Her whole feed is nothing but ads.
Yeah. What's the point?
It's crazy.
What's annoying is like I'll be watching a short and it'll go to an ad. And I learned the annoying way that if you send it, I thought it would send the short, but it actually sends the ad to somebody.
Oh, you dick.
And I'm just like, dude, like, what's the noise? Like, I'm trained now. Like, I see that little bar loading for the ad. And I get ready to, like, move out of it and come back in.
It's so, I hate it.
Like, there's ads in your notifications now where it's like, you know, on Facebook. I'm like, that's so annoying.
Well, so the other thing with social media and the information bias that comes out there is it tries to trick you into thinking that it's going to force you to get distracted by the shining objects. Mm-hmm. In other words, you post in a Facebook group, you know, hey, do you guys know any good accountants? I'm looking for an accountant for my business. 78
fucking accountant ads.
And now you just told social media that you need an accountant, and you told Google that you needed an accountant. And so all of your ads are now accountant based. And so now it's got you really distracted from the main goal of your business, and that's to go out there and make money. Obviously, you need to manage the money well on the accounting side of things. But then it makes you think that your accounting problem is much more prevalent than it is because now you're seeing it all the time, right? So it's very easy to get distracted by the other algorithms that are at play. Not only social media algorithms, but Google's algorithms and everything else.
You know, right? I don't want to change topics, but we've talked about this before as people aren't going on Google as much to search for things. They're going to more...
Yeah, they're crowdsourcing.
Yeah, crowdsourcing, right? Do you think that maybe that's partly because of so many ads that are on Google now? So like before you would Google search something,
yep,
and it would be all organic material. There was no sponsored at the top, right? So I think that maybe you have to scroll through almost a full page now to see anything organic, and people are just like, screw it, I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, they only got like 3 to 5 results on the first page now.
Yeah.
Actual results.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you think that's why people aren't doing it? And do you think that that's how Facebook's going to end up being too.
Yes.
And
then
people are going to go to something else. What's the next thing and how do we get in on it?
Right. So
that's what I want to know.
People's trust in Google is dropping dramatically. 3 to 5 years ago, people had a high trust in Google. They don't now because Google has so many suggested posts and everything else.
Yeah.
But also, people aren't trusting Google reviews. People think that you can buy Google reviews, which you can.
Yeah, you can.
They're not legit and they won't stay. But there was a guy on my feed. He must have unfollowed me because I don't see his shit anymore. But he'd be like, I'm doing a special this week, 100 Google reviews for $57.
Yeah.
And he's got like these bots that are giving people Google reviews for $57. And it's like, that's fucking dumb. For one, you're killing your Google algorithms. You're killing your Google performance when they catch on to that. But for two, when they take all those reviews away, he's still got your $57 or 157 or I can't remember. It was about $25 a Google review is about what it was.
It'd be nice if we could go like old school and bring Craigslist back, but then use that as if it was a Facebook.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And it was literally just like no ads, no nothing. It was just the only thing that was on there was what people were putting on there.
Like,
and that's
like Facebook Marketplace used to be fairly ad free.
Yeah.
But now Facebook Marketplace,
the first fucking
there's like
10.
Amazon resellers on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
And they're like available shipped to you.
Yeah. Drop shipped.
Yeah.
It's like freaking insane, man.
The point that you were getting at and like capitalizing on, I really like it, is when you talked about social media, is like you set the agenda for yourself and your business. And some people, they get on social media and all of a sudden now social media and what it's suggesting to you is sort of hijacking the agenda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and keep in mind, the main goal of social media is to keep you on the platform longer. And so
to sell ad space.
To sell more ad space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so
that people are tired
of going to help you. They don't want to help you in your business. Because if you're in your business, you're not on the platform. Right. And so it's full of distractions and everything else. And so that's why, like, you have to turn off all devices, sit down, use your own imagination, and imagine, what do I want the direction of my business to be? And you got to put logical steps in place to do that.
Yeah.
And then you literally solve the problem one step at a time. You take, first I got to master the craft. And so you dive all of your attention into mastering the craft. And then, okay, I've got the craft fairly mastered. Now I got to learn leadership. I can't have a team of people unless I know how to lead them.
Yeah.
Right. And so now you start reading leadership books or books on tape or, you know, Audible or whatever. And then, you know, the next thing is I got to manage. I got to know KPIs and metrics and numbers, and I got to know what's a good number and what's a bad number.
Result. How do I organize this information so that it makes sense?
And then
you sign up for Tradewinds.
And then it's business planning. It's like,
so Mitch can tell you how to do it.
Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, you know, you don't come off the ground doing all those things well. And this is like, so the guys that we have in Tradewinds, we kind of identify where they want to go. And then we kind of break it down one problem into another. We had a call last night that was freaking awesome. The guy's getting ready to hire one of his first plumber, or not one of his first, but he's getting ready to hire somebody, Chris Panette.
Oh yeah, Chris.
And
I was thinking of John.
But meanwhile, he backed off of the hiring thing and he was talking about his own personal metrics because we've been talking to him about getting his average tickets up and everything else. And so he's reporting back on his revenue, his monthly revenue and his average tickets are going through the roof because he's focusing on mastering the craft.
Yeah.
And then so that way when he does hire somebody, he actually knows what right looks like.
Yeah.
And so many people don't even know what right looks like. And so when you hire somebody, you just expect them to do it right, even though you don't even know what right looks like.
Yeah.
And so then you're just setting yourself up for defeat because uncommunicated expectations are just planned resentments later. Right. Yeah. And so if you don't communicate, this is the expectation of what this job should do. And if you do this, you'll be successful. If you don't communicate that, they won't do it.
No, they're lost.
They're not successful. And then you're like resenting them for not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, that's
even though it's your job to set them up for success.
I saw Jordan Peterson says this. He says people are talking about bias, and internal bias is people are biased towards their goals. So Facebook's goal is to keep you on the platform longer. So as you were saying, is like they're concerned not with your business, but like, hey, we want them on here longer.
Right.
And that's just a good thing to keep in mind. In life in general, everywhere is like when you go to ask someone advice for something, like if I ask Dave the same question as I ask you, is like there's going to be a bias, but it's towards like individual goals, like what's Dave trying to accomplish in his world and his goals versus right. you versus if I talk to Spencer or John.
Yeah.
You know, maybe John like wants a friend. So his answer to me, if I'm like, man, what should I do for business? And he might say like, well, maybe you should, you know, instead of going out there, you know, come over to our house. And so it's like, is that really what I would do? But he's just biased towards his goal of like wanting a friend.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's just being general.
And that's a real thing. It's weird that you say that because literally, so we were talking to Chris last night. Chris called me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago about that employee he wanted to hire.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell him everything I think. I literally say to him, I think you should call Mitch too.
Yep. And he did.
Yeah. He's like, oh, really? I was like, yeah. I was like, dude, he may give you advice that's completely different than mine. He's like, well, you know, he didn't really say this, but you could kind of tell like, well, I don't know if I want to, you know, I don't know which way I want to go and this and that. Dude, take all the information you can get
yeah.
and then make your decision.
And this isn't a who's right or wrong.
No, it's a get everything you can get
yeah.
and then go with it.
And then decide and go.
Yeah.
Because right. people have different biases. Well, towards their.
I mean, last show we talked about Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. If Elon Musk would have asked a lot of people for advice on his vision, mm-hmm. on the direction of the company, his company would be nowhere near where it was, right? So the owner of the company has to set the vision, mm-hmm. but then you seek advice on how to achieve individual objectives.
Well, Elon Musk, like that's, you know, he hires these engineers and these guys that are way smarter than him in certain areas. He said that.
Yeah.
That's the only way that I can get the vision to happen is to trust these people here.
Right.
To get all of these other opinions and then roll with it and get the best advice I can.
Right.
And this is something I never really thought about, you know, coming up until, to be honest, till we started Tradewinds is, I never would take in all of the different accounts and advice and everything and then try to form my own. I would just be like, oh, I heard that from that person. They're successful and take it and run with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm not to say that that was wrong or right or whatever, but it's like there is so much great information out there. There's no reason to not tap into it.
Right.
Like there's not.
Right.
Like we all need... we talked about this in Tradewinds a lot. We all need coaching in whatever area.
Yeah.
You know, you were in Apex. It helped you out a lot. Not in Apex anymore. You know, the guys that are in Tradewinds, some guys come in, they suck up a lot of juice, and then they're gone in a couple months. Some guys have been in for a year. You know what I mean? We all need coaching at different levels, different opportunities, you know, no matter where it's coming from to get to our vision or to our next goal.
Right.
Right.
And that's why we don't.
I wish I'd have been more open to it is really what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When I was younger.
Like in Tradewinds, we'll bring in guest speakers.
Yeah.
Like we've brought in like financing experts. And it like I don't, like, rather than me try to tell you what like works for me in my business when we're financing customers, how about I just bring in the expert and let him tell you what works in most businesses?
Yeah.
Right? For all I know, I'm the anomaly and what works in my business is rare. So don't take my advice.
Well, and there's like,
let's bring in the expert.
Well, in different parts of the country. Like financing is just different.
Yeah.
Like there's no way that we could possibly know all of the outcomes for every state in this great country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But these guys do know.
We just brought in like a business credit expert.
He was awesome.
To get everybody's business credit squared away. And that's a long journey, right?
Yeah.
So we might bring him back in the future.
I'd say, yeah.
Do it again.
He'll be back. He was great.
But
fucking amazing.
You know, like those are the types of things where it's like, okay, rather than learn from your friends, Like I've got a friend that owns a couple of hair salons, right? She was a guest on the show back years ago, right? I don't know if I would take customer service advice from her, not because she's bad at it.
She has different customer service.
It's
than
a
you
different
do.
Customer yeah. experience
yeah.
when you're messing with somebody's hair than when you're fixing their plumbing.
Yeah. It's it's an interpersonal experience.
Yeah. You're physically touching the person.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Right. Whereas here we're touching their poop. But I mean,
I don't know what you want me to say.
It's out of their body, at least.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
not
like,
a proctologist.
I mean, Mitch. I mean, your big thing is social media. So just like whenever you talk about social media, it's like that's your expertise. So it's like, hey.
But even then, like, I'm not a social media expert. Like, look at the size of my following. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even have 5,000 followers. So now, part of that's chosen mm-hmm. because I'm very selective with like who I take as a friend and all of that stuff. I want a highly engaged following. I don't want a giant unengaged following.
Well, you're not selling ads spend.
Right.
It's different, that was not right? What to say.
But like you could definitely take my advice for how to use social media to grow your local trades-based business. Mm-hmm. I'll claim that one. But don't look at me for...
Yeah, if you want to have 10,000 followers and sell ads on your... Don't... If that's not what Mitch does.
Right. Well, like, let's say YouTube, for example. If you have a YouTube channel and you're just starting out, I may be able to give you advice. But if you have a YouTube channel and you got 10,000 subscribers,
yeah,
we've only got 16,000 subscribers. I'm not really the right person to help you with your subscriber count. Mm-hmm. If you're at 10 and I'm at like, yeah, okay, I've got 6,000 more than you. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
Like that's nothing in the YouTube world.
Well, there's, yeah, it, yeah, that's nothing.
We talked about before, like, you know, get advice from others, but run your own race. I mean, full transparency, this isn't dogging anybody, but like I took your social media advice and I implemented it like that night and some stuff worked and some stuff didn't.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, I recognize we're in different spaces. You're in home service plumbing. I'm in video. So it's like, there's some things that do translate where I saw, but then there were some posts that just kind of fell flat. And some right. of that's like me learning how, but then it's just sort of like, it never hurts to try someone's advice.
Right.
And just see how it works.
And having the awareness to realize that's not bad advice. It just doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So prime example of that on the business side of things is you go to these ambiguous business seminars, home service seminars. Right.
They're
attacking all home services together.
Yeah.
And it's like, hold on, because HVAC is a totally different animal than plumbing.
Yeah.
Electrical is a totally different animal than plumbing. Roofing is a completely different animal all in itself. And if you're a roofer and you call yourself a home service provider, fuck off, because you're not.
No.
You own a sales organization. You're that does a roofing roofs. Contract. You're not even a roofer. You're a roofing contractor.
Yeah.
And then you subcontract out the roofing. Right.
Not all of them, but a lot of them. Yeah.
It's fucking easy to sell somebody their own deductible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hail damage.
Imagine,
it's only $500. Yeah. Imagine if those people had to literally pay for their whole roof
right.
and insurance wasn't going to cover it. Sales would be cut in half.
Right. That's like medical sales. It's easy to sell somebody something when it's just a deductible.
Yeah.
Well, you've already hit your annual deductible. Guess what? It's free. Knee surgery is on us.
Yeah.
Right. Easy to sell it. So anytime insurance is cooperating in the bill, it changes the game, right? Now, I'm not dogging those guys saying they're not successful or anything else, but what I'm saying is a guy...
Well, you can't compare the two. That's what you're saying.
A roofing contractor is not going to give a plumbing contractor world-changing advice.
No.
They're two totally different businesses.
Yeah.
He has 1099 labor. We have, like...
Employees.
W-2 labor, yeah. right? He has insurance covering 90% of the bill.
Yeah.
We have homeowners having to pay 100% of the bill.
Yeah.
Right? He has... Yeah.
And it's not like if each one of his roofers had to individually go out and sell and then install.
Right.
Like, it's just, you can't compare them.
Well, and then
they're not the same.
And then the flip side is, where are your customers? Oh, well, you just look at the recent weather.
Yeah.
Boom. It tells you where your customers are.
Yeah. Where
right?
do I focus my marketing?
Yeah.
Oh, right there where the big purple dot is.
How do I know what house in this neighborhood needs plumbing right now? Oh, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know, every house in this neighborhood needs a roof because a hailstorm just came through last night.
Yeah.
So like it is two
You're
totally
awfully
different...
fired up about the roofers
no,
for
what,
some reason.
What I'm saying, I'm saying that because the social media stuff loves to give you like right now, RoofCon is going on right now. It's the biggest roofing convention in the U.S.
Yeah. Keith is speaking at it.
Yeah. Keith is speaking at it. Yeah. Right. And so you're not seeing it much this year. But you, like last year, seminars in general are kind of dwindling right now because of the economy is slowing down a little bit.
And people just don't, yeah.
They're not spending money on that kind of stuff.
They're not spending extra money.
But last year at RoofCon, you saw other home service contractors trying to give other home service speeches, like find us at RoofCon. And it's like, that's totally
Why?
Different.
Yeah.
Right.
Why?
But even, like you even take it down to like HVAC versus plumbing. People know that my furnace is only going to last 10 or 15 years. They know I'm going to need a whole new furnace every 10 or 15 years.
First off, that's horse shit, but that's what people believe.
Right. Whether they're right or wrong, they know that.
Yeah.
Right.
They think people think that.
It's like the quote from Men in Black where he talks
where
about.
Where are you going with this?
So, hold on.
Oh my God. Here, this show is the rails today.
I mean, I would say there are some universal things like giving three options. That's really universal. Maybe not the roofing, but as far as like it works with tires, works with plumbing. I've used it for video.
Well,
people love that option because it's like they'll take it. And for one, it makes you look really legit.
Here you go.
Yeah.
This is Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yes. Continue.
1500 years ago, everybody knew the earth was the center of the universe.
Oh, yeah. I've heard this before.
500 years ago, everybody knew the earth was flat. And 15 minutes ago, you knew that humans were alone on this planet. Imagine what you'll know tomorrow, right? And obviously, that's talking about the aliens and the movie and everything else.
Yeah.
But what I'm hitting at is we try to take what we know and act like it's absolute and not changing, and it absolutely is changing.
Oh yeah, right, constantly.
15 years ago, well, maybe 20 years ago,
2.5 years ago, you knew exactly how to get Google LSA calls. We did an entire fucking educational video for the Tradewinds guys on how to sign up for Google, how to run Google LSA.
Yep.
You can't do it anymore.
It's different.
A fucking shit show.
Yeah.
We're going to probably have to pull that one off and put something else in there.
Yeah.
But like shit literally
changes.
It changed that. It wasn't, I said 2.5 years ago. It wasn't even that long ago.
Right.
Like literally it has completely flipped on its head in that amount of time.
Right. And so the idea of staying open to new knowledge is good, but also like, know where your knowledge comes from, right? People know, whether they're right or wrong, they know that they need a new furnace every 10 to 15 years. They also know that they can't maintain that furnace on their own, right? And the reason why is because the parts aren't readily available at Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards like
yeah.
every other plumbing item is, right?
Yeah.
And so when your furnace shoots the shit,
yeah.
because the parts, if the parts were readily available, then YouTube would help you diagnose it. YouTube would have links to parts, like the general DIY information pathway would be out there, right?
Yes. The diagnostic is really what separates plumbing and heating and cooling.
Right.
Like I can literally look at my water pipe and go, that fucker's leaking. And when it stops leaking, I know I've repaired it.
Right.
I can't get in there on a circuit board. Well, I mean, I can, but you know what I mean? The average guy can't look at that circuit board and go, why is it flashing that diagnostic code?
Right.
And even if you look on the back of the deal and or on Google and can see, oh, it's this part or this problem.
Right.
Well, now how do I fix that?
Right.
It's just not easily obtainable.
Well, and there's more connected pieces with HVAC. You got an indoor unit, an outdoor unit, a thermostat, you know, all kinds of things that all work together, right?
Yeah.
And so, surprising thing for any of the HVAC guys listening, if you want to dominate your business, you put a sticker on all your thermostats that say free battery replacements for life. If your thermostat ever needs new batteries, the service call is on us. And what it is, like mine did this just the other day. Circuit board popped the little 2-amp fuse. All the thermostats go dark.
Yeah. You thought the batteries
you think, were... No, I knew.
Yeah, I know you knew, but I'm saying
the general consumer thinks, oh, I need new batteries. Or my thermostat's not working, right?
Yeah.
I guess this wasn't, it's not three batteries. Where I saw this working was they said the lifetime warranty on thermostats is what it was. And so they would put a thermostat in, and yeah. if it would ever go dark,
yeah.
they would call you out for service. Very rarely is it ever the thermostat.
Yeah.
And so they would call you out for service, and it's because something else went wrong in the system.
There was a
right?
big deal. I think I still have some, but you could... get that stuff printed directly on, Honeywell did it.
Oh, you can totally do all that.
Oh, yeah. You put your logo, print it on there. You didn't even have to get a sticker. They came that way.
Yeah. Well, now you can put a QR code on it, and it takes you straight to the website to call them, right? Yep. Set up a service call.
Yep.
Heck, now they have thermostats that'll communicate to your HVAC guy. Like, yeah. We did
It'll
this.
It'll call them.
We did. So
if it's a Wi-Fi.
There's intelligent Wi-Fi water system. Heaters in commercial spaces that we would have commercial customers say, I don't need to know when my water heater's out. You do. So they would put me as the alert person, as the plumbing service department manager where I used to work. And
show up and charge
them $500. If the water heater ever goes out,
sucker,
you've got a $500 allowance or whatever. Right. And so they say, all we request is you notify us when you're heading our way. Cause we won't know. Right. Yeah. And we put this water heater in this highfalutin salon. It's called Solas Salons. They rent. It's a big building that has like 30 little salons in it. And so if you're just getting your hair salon business off the ground,
yeah, you can
rent a booth.
It's booth rental.
Yeah. And so they can't afford to go down, and they have to be open 24/7, 365 because they don't dictate when their clients,
they can come in anytime they want, dye hair, do whatever.
Yeah.
It's
and
like
so
a tattoo place.
And so they,
get
they
a tattoo
said
2 a.m.
If it ever needs anything, just show up. Right. And so we got an alert. We put this system on. It's called the ICOM system. We put it on. And I mean, like 3 weeks later, I get an email saying it was a gas, like irregular gas pressure fluctuation, units on standby or something like that. And so I was in the area. I let them know. I called them and said, hey, we just got an alert. It's still under warranty. Like, this isn't going to cost you anything.
Yeah, but I'm coming.
But I'm coming anyway. And come to find out, I pull in the parking lot. The gas company is changing the gas meter out.
Oh, nice.
And the water heater sensed the differential in gas pressure from them changing the meter out.
Locked out.
And that was enough to send the code, right?
Soft lockout.
So, like, they've had that technology forever.
Yeah.
And HVAC, like that's kind of a bridge over from HVAC, but generally customers know that HVAC needs professionally maintained and they know that HVAC will need professionally replaced in the future.
Yeah.
I can't go to Home Depot and Lowe's and buy a furnace or air conditioner. No. I can get a window unit, right?
No.
But that's it.
Yeah.
And so like even...
Yeah, you can buy a sealed system.
Yeah, but even like marketing for HVAC is completely different than marketing for plumbing because HVAC, you can't do on your own. You have to have a professional. Whereas plumbing, there's not a single thing I put in your house that you can't go buy. It's a lower quality version, but you can't go buy at Home Depot or Lowe's or Menards.
And electrical's really the same. They've just scared people to death by, if you get shocked, it's going to kill you. You're going to die.
Electrical's even worse than plumbing.
Yeah.
Because electrical doesn't age. Plumbing doesn't age at the same rate as HVAC, and electrical doesn't age at the same rate as plumbing.
No.
Lasts and forever. So, you know, the biggest thing in electrical is going to be like remodel.
Yeah.
You know, new panels, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or damage catastrophe stuff.
But people are scared to death of even touching an outlet anymore. I can't touch that. It'll fucking kill me. I'll die.
But there's like, you can go buy a full panel at Home Depot or Lowe's, right? Yeah. So, like, again, electrical, there's nothing that you're doing in a house that you can't go buy at Home Depot or Lowe's or Menards.
Well, and that was my point, is that electrical contractors and electrical manufacturers in general have scared people. They got around it. They've scared people so bad that they will call a professional more than a plumber, even.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So
ultimately...
Wrap us up, Mitch. We've been talking for like an hour and a half.
I know. The idea of hustle culture is an illusion, and don't buy into it. But at the same time, celebrate those around you that you know are putting in the work and you know are getting the results.
Yeah, but circle up with them.
Don't celebrate with those that are just talking about putting in the work and they don't have any results to show for it. Now, it's different if they don't have results yet, right? But like the friend that I referenced earlier that's posting fitness photos every day of in the gym and he's still a fat fuck. And
I think it's funny how you just called him a friend and a fat fuck all in the same fucking sentence.
It's honest. Right?
Is he an actual friend?
I've met him twice.
So no.
In person.
So no.
It's more of a Facebook friend.
Fair. I mean, Mitch and I are friends, and before the podcast, I was like, oh, awesome little chubby.
And yeah, Austin was talking about missing breakfast, and I'm like, you could miss one. So,
yeah, that's
I mean,
got,
I can miss one.
I don't get it. I've been trying to put fucking weight on for like 2 months.
Well, yeah.
Can't simple math. Calories in, calories out.
Can't do it, dude. I don't know if it's just my body is so proficient at burning things.
I'll help you. I'll show you
calories in, calories out.
And the other thing is I can't, you know me, I can't sit on my ass.
Right.
Like I can't sit down and watch I'm not saying this is Austin. I can't sit down and watch Netflix all day.
Right.
And just eat. And like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
So
maybe I'm thinking about getting the,
maybe winter will help.
Maybe get a standing desk. Some people get those. Those are popular now. You can like raise and lower
them. If I had that, I'd even burn more calories.
Yeah.
I need to not burn calories.
You need a lay down desk.
Just lay down on the floor.
And a lot of people come out with these lazy ways to try to improve too. Like, oh, I'm not going to get into fitness, but I swapped out my office chair for a balance ball.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm doing fitness all day long. And I'm like, okay, the balance ball does work different muscles.
You're still
sitting on your ass sedentary.
I need one. Like, it makes your posture go up in your back.
Yeah.
I've noticed sitting in that chair, like, my shoulder blades want to slouch.
Right.
For me, it's posture. Like, I'll get done editing and think, man, why does my neck hurt? And I realize I've been hunched over for 3 hours.
I see this commercial all the time on TV. It's these fucking little foot pedal things that are motorized, and they sell it to old people to move their feet, and they sell it as exercise.
For old people, it is. If you're over 90, that's exercise.
The only exercise they're getting is picking their feet up off the floor and setting it on this thing. The thing is moving for them. That's like getting an e-bike and saying, I'm now into cycling. No, you're not. It's a fucking scooter.
It's like getting an electric truck and going, I'm a man now.
Yeah. You got to dig the lightning. Man.
I haven't made fun of Mitch for the lightning in a while.
I get to hear enough of that from my wife.
Yeah.
That was a big thing.
What's crazy is that it's possible I pull out of that thing and go into a diesel. So now that we're doing more over-the-road travel.
Oh, we were talking about trucks. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
My wife pulled out of that thing.
All I heard, and I was like, it took me a minute to understand what you were talking about.
Yeah.
You don't need a diesel. Too much maintenance, death is bullshit.
Yeah, it's
get a 250 with a fucking real gas motor in it and drive the thing.
Yeah, but the value on the gas motor ones dropped through the fucking floor.
Who cares?
Well,
did the value on that lightning drop?
Yes.
Didn't
that's
care.
Why I don't want you. No, didn't I do care, now. Did you?
Oh, now he cares. Now he cares.
I don't want to go two dropping values in a row. So
maybe you should listen to your friends.
Well, maybe like he's doing like a calibrated approach, you know.
Maybe he should buy something used.
Well, no, conditions changed.
Yeah.
The boat wasn't a reality when I bought the Lightning.
Right.
It was a reality a year later. Yeah. And now that we have the boat, the Lightning doesn't make sense.
I'm not going to say anything.
So
I told you to get rid of that fucking thing after.
Oh, no. The boat pulls it fucking the boat pulls it better than a diesel truck will.
Yeah.
It's
you
just,
mean the truck, the electric truck pulls the boat? You just said the boat pulls
it. Yeah. The electric truck pulls the boat better than a diesel truck will.
Okay, just making
sure. The problem is over-the-road travel. Like, if we want to go to Lake of the Ozarks,
yeah,
I got to stop and charge on the way between Kansas City and Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
So,
and if you try to take that Lightning to the skiing again, your wife will murder you in your sleep.
Yeah, no, that's an active conversation in the house of what we're doing.
She would literally stab you in the face.
To be fair, on the ski trip, we had 6 charge stops between Kansas City and Breckenridge, which was fucking crazy. We only had 5 on the way home. It was 15 below zero.
Oh.
So like, that's like the worst conditions imaginable for an EV.
You still would have,
so you still would have had
to stop at one less time.
No, I could have made it in 3. If the weather was appropriate, I could have made it in 3.
Oh, only 3 1-hour stops.
Hey.
I did see
you. 3 hours off the drive.
Stop putting lipstick on that pig, man. It's fucking over.
It's not good for over-the-road travel.
No, it's
not. And now that we're doing more over-the-road travel,
they have
and we're towing the boat longer places.
I give you shit, but they have their place. That's
around town, the thing
you,
is amazing.
For you, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Mason and I are going to go film a video for how long it takes to go 0 to 60 pulling the boat.
Why? Just for fun?
I just want to see it. I want to see it pull 9,000 pounds. I want to see
blow a fucking motor out right before
he
gets rid of
it. You know, you go to those websites where it's like the last photo someone took before they die, and it's like you see,
yeah.
the last photo of my electric Lightning before it caught on fire. Batteries on fire. Shit.
Doesn't hurt it to smash the gas and see 700
horsepower. I did see
horsepower.
A Tesla in a Mustang race
it
off the line
it.
The other day, and dude, like it wasn't even glide. I mean, the Tesla was like, you know,
it's all-wheel drive.
Was like 100 feet out before the Mustang could even do anything. You're
the
Mustang.
Type, is it a Plaid Type S or Type S Plaid?
Plaid.
Yeah, like 0 to 60 in like 2.9 seconds or something crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the Lightning 0 to 60 is 4 seconds. Pulling the boat, I'm willing to bet it's the boat's heavy.
I bet it's 5.5.
It's
probably
The boat's 10,000 pounds.
Probably 6.
With like truck, trailer, gear, and everything.
Yeah.
And so I bet it's probably between six and seven seconds, 0 to 60 pulling that boat.
Yeah.
So
the only thing I don't like, I thought about getting one of those fast Teslas. Like you can get them used now for nothing.
Yeah.
Just to drive it and it's cool and it's fast and it's awesome. But it's like,
I want to hear it.
I want a stick shift and I want to smell gas.
Well,
and I want, you know what I mean?
It's not the only car. Right, you got your old school Camaro for when you want to feel that, and then you get the Tesla for when you want modern modern technology, and to go really fucking fast.
Yeah, it's like I don't. Ryan Farrell said this great about when you guys had motorcycles. He was like, "Yeah, it's cool and all to go fast." He's like, "But I like the acceleration."
Yeah.
And the driving it and the, you know, like, I think it's the same thing with the car. Yeah, it's fast. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it gets in, it's moving, it's badass. But I want to feel like I'm driving something.
Yeah.
You know,
I saw a comparison that was like, you can cook a hot dog on a grill or in a microwave, but it's better on the grill.
Yeah.
And it's just proof that cooking or like using electricity to achieve the goal is not as fun as burning natural resources.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the experience.
Well, that breaks down to like the same with the cameras. Like you have cameras for different, they'll use this camera to go out, you know, a mobile camera if they're just vlogging or if they want to film something, you know.
Right.
It's the same sort of concept.
Yeah, it's the experience.
Yeah.
It's all about the experience.
So to wrap things up.
I was going to make a sexual joke, but I'm not going
to
do it.
To wrap things up, don't get blindsided by hustle culture. Don't think that everyone's out there just working 24/7, 365 and not taking breaks. You know, everyone likes to act like, you know, Sunday's the day to get ahead on the competition because everyone else is resting. Fuck it. I've never worked a Sunday in my life. Never once.
Really?
I cannot remember ever working a Sunday.
I've worked a couple Sundays.
And, I mean, maybe a random, like, emergency plumbing service call for a friend or something like that. But, like, I've never
not a scheduled day.
I've never worked a Sunday. Sunday has always been my day to do whatever the fuck I want.
Right? I work, but at home.
And then you even hear these people talking about don't sleep in on the weekends and all this bullshit. And it's like, okay, that may work for you. I sleep the fuck in on the weekends.
Yeah.
I enjoy my rest.
I didn't get up today till almost 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I was exhausted.
So, and even if I'm not even like sleeping, if I'm just enjoying relaxing in bed.
Yeah. You
know? And last Saturday.
Nice cool sheets with the fan on.
Yeah. There was a day within the last couple of weekends, my boys were like, you stayed in bed for a long time. I'm like, yeah. Do you see how good your mom looked when she went to bed last night?
Stop. Your poor boys are going to be fucking scarred.
They're ruined.
They're going to think every woman is just a sex being.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, they're good.
No, they're not. Yeah. I want to think they are. Yeah. Nah.
So.
Anyways.
If this show made you think about things in a different way, if it brought you value,
no doubt.
If it helped give you some clarity on the fact that no one's hustling as hard as they appear to be on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, do us a favor and share this show with somebody that needs to hear that message. Also, make sure you click like or subscribe or whatever that you're listening on, and give us a review on whatever platform you're listening on as well. I feel we've earned it. Last time I checked, the cost for admission to this show is zero. So, and David and I don't get paid for this show. So,
this is not directly anyway. Second podcast that's been over an hour and a half in a row. Uh-oh. So, like 3 hours, you know.
We're going to go Rogan Festival here soon.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I ought to make this like a smoke room. Get filtration in here.
You mean talking about weed?
Whatever.
You got to get like
whatever your pleasure.
Dude, if you want to start doing shows like where we come in here on a Saturday morning and drink coffee and then get high, like I don't like smoking weed, but we will, some crazy things will be said.
Like weed. It could be.
You want to just start drinking at 9 in the morning?
It could just be drinks. Could just be cigars. Cigars and scotch.
I actually put a ventilation system in a guy's house one time. It was you know those roof hoods?
Uh-huh.
We put it on the side of his house and run spiral in there, and it was just so he could smoke cigars in the house because his wife told him he couldn't anymore.
I got plenty of access for
it was
all of that.
Well, they do. I know. For their things, they'll do cigars, but they'll have like, you know, a bowl of popcorn, a bowl of M&Ms, and just different little snacks and candies out. But the thing is, they only do that like every few months.
It's Joe Rogan, they smoke weed on that show.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I thought you were
what
talking about
that. What is the H3 podcast where he makes everyone like hit the bong?
I just shut up a bong,
and like Jordan Peterson will come on and like he makes them do it before they start the podcast.
I don't know. He got Elon Musk smoking weed on his podcast.
That was Rogan.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he did it on H3 podcast too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dude, I'll do it. I will turn your brain inside out.
Free up some money and get a ventilation system in here for that. Daniel would never allow smoking in the house. So I gotta find a way to seal it up. We might have to figure something out. She doesn't listen to this show, so we got plenty of time.
I was going
to
say, you want to ask her for your balls,
and
too?
If any one of you listeners DM her and tell her I'm thinking about doing that, I'm going to kick your fucking ass.
No, he's not.
So.
He's not tough.
All right. Until next week, guys, we will see you later.